Friday, the 11th of September. There is a particular kind of morning in this work where the interesting thing is not that a machine did something clever, but that somebody showed you exactly how. That is the shape of today. Four pieces, and in three of them, the real news is the receipt rather than the result. Top off your cup and let me take you through them. First up, NVIDIA has published a complete open recipe for solving Olympiad mathematics, and the system it describes scored 30 out of 42 points at the International Mathematical Olympiad this year. That is above the gold medal threshold. Now, gold medal performance at the Olympiad is not itself new anymore. Several closed systems have cleared that bar over the last year and a half, and each time we got a blog post, a score, and very little else. What is new here is that you can check this one. The entire pipeline is reproducible. Let me lay out what they actually did. They start from Nemotron 3 Ultra, and they train two specialist checkpoints on top of it, using supervised fine-tuning and reinforcement learning. Then they study, carefully, how three separate things contribute to the final number: which checkpoint you pick, how you verify candidate proofs, and how you refine them. The system that emerges works entirely in natural language. There is no formal prover sitting underneath it. No Lean, no Isabel, no external tools, no internet access. It reads the problem and it writes a proof in prose the way a human competitor would. Three checkpoints power the thing: the general availability model plus the two post-trained specialists. And they drive an iterative search that generates candidate proofs, verifies them, and refines them. Then a separate high compute stage selects which solution to actually submit for each problem. So this is a test time compute story as much as it is a post-training story. The contribution is really the scaffolding, the search, the verification, the selection process, wrapped around an open model, carrying it to a threshold that the base checkpoint does not reach on its own. What makes this land, though, is everything that shipped alongside the paper: both post-train checkpoints, the training data, the training code, and the inference code, the actual solutions they submitted to the competition, and a new benchmark called Nemotron IMO Bench with 200 novel Olympiad-level problems. That last piece matters more than it might sound, because contamination is the shadow over every Olympiad result. The worry that the model has already seen these problems, or close cousins of them, somewhere in pre-training. A fresh benchmark, written for this purpose, lets other groups measure themselves against the same bar honestly. The caveat I would hold on to is that the pipeline leans on a heavy compute budget at selection time, so the headline number reflects both the training work and a lot of sampling. Their own ablations are where you go to separate those two contributions. Moving on to our second story, which is about making robots stop stuttering. There is a design that vision language action policies have all converged on. You take a pre-trained vision language backbone and you bolt on a dedicated continuous action head trained with diffusion or with flow matching. That action head is where all the latency lives. PA0.5, to take the obvious example, runs 10 Euler steps for every chunk of action it produces, and that iterative sampling is not an abstract inefficiency. You can see it. It produces visibly stop and go movement in the robot, and it slows down how long the whole task takes. The new work is called IMLI VLA, and it throws out the iterative head entirely, replacing it with a single step generator trained by something called conditional implicit maximum likelihood estimation. Now, why that objective and not something simpler? This is the crux, and it is worth sitting with. If you just train a single step regression head, it collapses to the average of the action distribution. And when several genuinely different action sequences would all work, go around the left side of the obstacle, go around the right side, the average of those is a trajectory that goes straight through the obstacle. It is valid under neither option. That failure is exactly what pushed the whole field toward diffusion heads in the first place. The conditional, implicit, maximum likelihood objective keeps coverage of those multiple modes, so you retain the expressiveness that motivated diffusion while dropping the multi-step sampling completely. the numbers are strong. Applied to PA 0.5, inference frequency goes up by 3.67 times, from 15 Hz to 55 Hz, which they translate into as much as 11 times higher action throughput. On the 40-task Libero benchmark, it gets the highest average success rate of anything they tested, 98%, while also leading on inference speed. That combination is the part that counts. Speed-ups you buy by giving up accuracy are easy and not very interesting. They also report results under the perturbations of Libero Plus, which probes robustness rather than just nominal success. Here is why I think this changes what is buildable rather than just what is benchmarkable. A policy running at 55 Hz sits inside the control bandwidth you need for contact-rich manipulation. At 15 Hz, you are outside it. The stuttering is not an aesthetic complaint. It is a real constraint on any task that needs continuous force modulation, anything where the robot has to press and adjust and press again. The honest caveat is that Libero is simulation. Both the 98% and the throughput gain need confirming on physical hardware, where the perception latency of the backbone and the dynamics of the controller start to dominate instead of the action head. Third up, a model called T1 that has been trained to live in a terminal. It is a mixture of experts' model, 122 billion total parameters, trained with reinforcement learning to drive a real shell inside a cloud sandbox, sustaining more than 300 tool call turns on a single task, and rewarded by actually executing each task's own verifier. The post-training pipeline takes the base model from 43.8% resolved on terminal bench 2.1 up to 64.0%. On the long horizon terminal bench, it reaches 27.9%, which they report as beating both GPT-5.4 and GLM-5.1. The training machinery is where the substance is, because long horizon agentic reinforcement learning on a mixture of experts' backbone is precisely where most attempts fall apart. They name three ingredients. The first is an aggressively warm-started actor-critic setup, stabilized by a dense process reward that scores a trajectory by the raw number of verifiers it passes, rather than waiting for one sparse signal at the end of 300 turns. The second is a pair of mechanisms for keeping optimization stable. Training on the exact sampled token identifiers with drift repair at turn boundaries, and something they call rollout routing replay, which records which experts the sampler chose for every token at every mixture of experts layer, then replays those same choices during training. That second mechanism deserves a moment because it fixes a subtle and genuinely nasty problem. In a mixture of experts model, a router decides which experts handle which token. If the router picks different experts at training time than it picked when the trajectory was actually sampled, then the gradient you compute no longer corresponds to the behavior you observed. You are updating a policy that did not do the thing you are rewarding. Replaying the routing decisions closes that gap, and they measure it. The two techniques together cut the difference between training and inference log probabilities from 0.021 down to 0.013, with exactly aligned zero-token drift in the loss region. That number is the paper's evidence that the policy being optimized is the policy being sampled. The third ingredient is a deliberately out-of-distribution training corpus, isolated seeds and synthesized tasks kept disjoint from the benchmark. That is the claim to scrutinize hardest, and they press it hardest too. Terminal agent benchmarks are unusually easy to overfit because the task distribution is narrow and the verifiers are public. By keeping training tasks separate from the evaluation set, they argue that 20-point gain reflects genuine transfer rather than familiarity. Whether that holds needs independent evaluation and the model itself is not released. For anyone building long horizon coding or operations agents, the routing replay idea is the piece that travels. It is a general fix for policy gradient mismatch in sparse models, and it has nothing to do with shells specifically. And for our fourth and final story today, a structural change in how one military organizes itself around autonomy. The Israel Defense Forces are standing up a dedicated unmanned systems and artificial intelligence branch, pulling together drone, robotics, autonomous vehicle, and AI capabilities that until now have been scattered across separate commands. Chief of Staff Lieutenant General Eyal Zamir announced it on the 10th of September at a naval officer's course graduation, and the branch is expected to be fully inaugurated by early December. The thing to notice here is that this is consolidation, not new capability. No new system was unveiled. Zamir described the branch as integrating unmanned systems across land, air, and sea with platforms that will, in his words, operate alongside manned teams or carry out independent missions. But the organizational form is the actual news. Creating a branch, rather than a program office or a joint task force or a working group, puts unmanned and autonomous systems on the same footing as the traditional service arms. And that determines things that outlast any particular drone. Budget lines, career paths, who owns the doctrine, who gets a seat when priorities are set. Reported alongside this was some context on the surrounding ecosystem, with Israel ranked third globally in commercializing AI and high-tech capital raises up 53.6% in the first half of this year against last. So what was this morning about? Three of these four stories are really about showing your work. NVIDIA released the checkpoints and the data and the submitted proofs instead of just the score. The Terminal Agent paper published the log probability gap between training and inference, which is the number that tells you whether the training was even coherent. The robotics work reported its speed up next to its success rate, so you can see nothing was traded away. Even the fourth story, in its way, is about making something legible, taking autonomy out of the scattered places it had been living, and giving it a name and a budget line. The field spent a long stretch where capability claims arrived as announcements. A morning where three of the four come with receipts feels like a better direction. I will be back tomorrow. Until then, keep reading papers.